Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's Fantasy Football Weekly Wide Receiver Edition. We're going to break down the rookies with Thor Nystrom. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, God, I'm so excited to be here talking. Now, I don't know if you know this from our previous shows when we did quarterbacks, we broke down running backs over the last couple of weeks. I'm taking copious notes while you're talking. You're feeding directly into all my talking points as I'm starting to learn all this stuff, my man. If your takes are bad, I'm going to look like a jackass.
I hope they're not.
Never. You haven't had one wrong yet, right?
I don't think so.
Let's go with that as our working theory. Never been wrong, Thor Nystrom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. We've gotten a lot smarter on the quarterbacks, the running backs. It feels like we say this nearly every year. Awesome wide receiver class coming. You know, like the last 5 years, we've had like three or four of these classes that are just bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah. With one exception, but yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And this one we got, it's roaring back. Yeah. This receiving class is awesome. At the top, usually we talk about the top with the top three, but people need to realize this thing is also crazy deep. It's not just the top three guys. This thing goes all the way down. Awesome receiver class.
We could have five receivers go in the first round?
Yeah, maybe even six.
Yeah.
Depending, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be, you know, everybody's right now has got, speaking of that first end of the first round.
Yeah.
Kansas City, last pick of the first round, they're getting a star receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to pick any one team with, and I had to marry any one team with any one position in the first round, second half of the first round,
yeah,
I think I'd go wide receiver for Kansas City.
Can we just put Xavier Worthy in
that spot right now?
Spot?
Yeah, and we're going to break him down in just a few minutes. Xavier Worthy, you want to add a speed dimension, a downfield speed dimension to a team that has gotten the average depth of pass for Patrick Mahomes has gone down every year of his career. They got to open that back up.
Yeah, let's get some speed.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's start at the top of the wide receiver position. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been slotted as the top receiver for this class for like 2 years now. It's all going to come to fruition here. Currently, most people believe he's going to go to pick number 4, Arizona.
Yeah, he's the prototype X boundary prospect. He's going to be, you know, presumably Arizona's wide receiver one from day one. Elite route runner for his size. He has the high octane release package, exceptional footwork, throttle speed at will. He's violent into and out of his route breaks. Very, very good hands. Difficult to handle downtown because of his body control and leaping abilities. I have very, very few nitpicks on him. Speed is only very, very good, but not elite.
Yeah.
And when he has the ball in his hands, he doesn't, he's not like a tackle breaking colossus, but that's really all I got. He is a stud.
Yeah.
Stud.
It, outside of quarterbacks, he'll be the first player to go in the draft.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, his dad comes in, Marvin Harrison Sr., obviously, and he was the undersized, you know, skinny guy, comes out of Syracuse, whatever, and he had to win by being the awesome route runner, you know, throttling up and down the speeds, keeping the cornerbacks off the beat of his scent, everything like that. He taught everything to his son, who got all the physical gifts that he did not.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd like to know, I'd like to know what mom is like. You know, did Marvin Harrison, wide receiver, senior, like, you know, did he marry, I don't know, like a star volleyball player or something, you know, and get all, you know, how do you go, how did Marvin Harrison Jr. get the physical gifts that his dad didn't have?
That's crazy. But yeah, he's a giant. He's, you know, stretched out and the catch radius is ridiculous. And a guy that can win all three levels of the field, it becomes a spacing thing as well. You know, it's not just him singularly. It becomes a spatial thing for the rest of the field where he helps the receiver on the other side of the field because you have to keep a high safety on that side of the field. So, he you know, he's helping all of his teammates just because of the spacing. You know, different stuff like that on the field.
Non-super flex leagues, Marvin Harrison Jr. is first player going in dynasty drafts.
Yeah. Yeah, because the running back class, you know, like we talked about last week, it's not as good.
It's not as good
this year. So, I mean, Marvin Harrison stands above, you know, everybody else as far as that goes.
Yeah. You know, some people, you might be tempted to go another direction. I don't think I would. I don't think Brock Bowers is going to be in play at the first overall unless you're in some kind of, you know, tight end specialized league. And I don't think the other receivers we're going to talk about are going to hit that either. So let's take that opportunity to move over to Rome Odunze from Washington. Highly, highly productive there.
Yeah, Rome Odunze would be wide receiver one in
a normal year.
Yeah, you look at the past decade, most of those classes, he would have been wide receiver one. It's just, you know, he happens to come out in this class, has every single tool that you'd want, and that is now confirmed with having gone through the NFL Combine. Rome Odunze, so he comes in, measures in 6'3", 212 pounds. His RAS was 9.91.
Jeez.
He runs a 4.45. It wasn't even the thing that impressed me the most. The thing that impressed me the most, people watching the telecast, Rome Odunze got a 6.88 in the three cone. The telecast at night, he wouldn't leave the field because he kept running the three cone. He wanted to run a sub 6.6 three cone. Because the kid who ran the fastest was like 6.65.
Mm-hmm.
Odunze wanted a sub 6.6. So he was on his fourth, fifth attempt with the three cone.
Can you try it as many times as you want?
Apparently.
Okay.
I don't know if
I don't know you could do that.
I don't know if they would have countered it if he did.
Okay.
But he kept running it over and over and over again. He kept knocking over the cone on the far side.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he kept, you know, he wasn't getting it, whatever. And he kept getting ticked off because he just kept, you know, kicking that one over, whatever. But the kid's an absolute dog. I mean, he'd already gotten a 99th plus percentile RAS, and he wouldn't leave the field because he didn't have the best three cone of his entire position group. I compare him to Julio Jones. You know, you talk about every golf club in the bag, size, strength, physicality, speed, agility, hops, ball skills. He's a complete receiver. He was pressed more than any receiver by the stats in this class last year at Washington. And the reason that was done is because we talked about this a few weeks ago in the quarterback episode. The way that you take Michael Penix off his game is by pressuring him and trying to get him off his spot, disrupting the timing. How do you do that? Well, you try to take the best player on the Washington offense away. Mm-hmm. You try to press him off the line. You didn't press and Odunze off the line, though. You had to try, but you weren't going to be able to do it. He got pressed more, or at least attempted to press more than 200 snaps last year, but nobody could get him off the line. His feet are too good. He has this dynamic release package, but he's also too strong, too quick. He gets into the route really quick, and then he adjusts his tempo along the route. So it's just really difficult to get a beat of his scent. You don't know when he's going to break that route off or when he's going to go downtown, whatever. He would have been a high first round pick last year if he had entered that class. We mm-hmm. know that. And he would have been a wide receiver one in a lot of those classes over the last decade. But yeah, he's either going to be two or three in this one just because of Marvin Harrison Jr.
In our show in late February, you comped Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver, to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
That's a very favorable and tantalizing comp
yes.
right there. What do you like about it? What do you like about his game?
And you could say the same about Nabers, right? Like where, you look at the
different,
last 10
A different
classes,
year, he'd have been number one.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, we have three wide receiver ones in this class. And, it's not hyperbole. It just is what it is. Nabers is very, very similar as a prospect to Ja'Marr Chase. I think I mentioned in that episode, I didn't even want to make that comp because of the jersey thing. It felt too easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it's just the closest one that I could think of. With Nabers, the thing that really jumps out about him is the ludicrous stop-start ability and the fact that he loses zero momentum when he's changing directions.
Mm.
It's just, he can change directions. Everyone loses momentum when they change direction, but not Malik Nabers. It's ridiculous. When he's running routes, it's at this breakneck speed where they can't keep up with him because he doesn't lose any momentum when he's cutting and different and changing directions, stuff like that. You can be as fast as Malik Nabers, potentially. You might even have world-class feet like him. So you might be feeling good about staying in his hip on a given rep, but then he can just slam on the brakes and come back. And then all of a sudden you're skidding.
Yeah.
And he's
open. Now he's got 4 yards of separation.
And now he's got the ball in space. And now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's what makes him so difficult. And, we talked about this, earlier on in the previous episode where the other part about him that's very unique is his upper body doesn't move very much when he's moving at full speed. And it's just this strange quirk about him, but he doesn't chug his arms very much when he's running on the route. So it makes it difficult to denote when he's going to break those routes mm-hmm. off. And it's also difficult to gauge exactly how fast he's moving. So he just becomes like a really hard math problem for the defensive backs.
Yeah, that's going to be a matchup problem. All these guys, Harrison, Adunza, Nabers, they're all guys that can be impactful like week one of the NFL, like week one of their rookie year. They can make an impact that fast.
If all three guys of those guys
assuming
are not stars
spots.
In the NFL, I will be stunned.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, landing spot will determine plenty, but all guys that have clear paths to immediate returns.
Yes.
For your dynasty or empire fantasy
Absolutely.
Team, which we love. Now, there it feels like there's a bit of a break after Nabers.
Yes.
And so, Harrison, Adunze, and Nabers all seem to be guys that are going in like the top 11-ish, 12-ish picks of the draft being mocked there.
Yep.
And then there feels like there's a bit of a drop. And then we get into some other names. Brian Thomas goes here. But you've got Ladd McConkey as your next guy. And I know you love his separation ability.
I do. Yeah. So, most people have Brian Thomas at number four. But I had to put Ladd up here. And you mentioned the separation last year. Ladd McConkey, receiving grade versus single coverage, 98th percentile. Separation percentile, 93rd percentile. Separation percentile versus single coverage, 91st percentile.
Mm.
And, a lot of people talk about him as a pure slot receiver. He played most of his percentage of his snaps in college actually on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia played a predominantly 12 personnel offense. So, a lot of the times he was playing on the outside. Last year it was 78.7% on the outside. He of course, can play in the slot, but he can do both of those things. He goes, and I think this he proved the concept at the combine, 8.45 RAS and a 4.39 40.
4.39.
4.39 with a 36-inch vertical and a 10.4 broad. And by the way, he didn't do the agility drills, which I believe will be his best test. Most of the guys didn't do the agility drills, Roma Dunze notwithstanding, because the NFL does it in a dumb way where they put the agility drills at the very end of the day after everyone is already gassed from doing all the other drills. So most people defer that until their pro day. Ladd McConkey is going to destroy those when he does them. But whole point being, Ladd McConkey is ridiculously hard to stay with. At the Senior Bowl when we were down there on Tuesday, he dusted everyone. It was very similar to Tank Dell on the very first day the year before. The second day on Wednesday, people were playing way off him, 8 yards off of Ladd McConkey, just seeding free receptions in the one-on-one drills because they didn't want to get embarrassed in front of the entire NFL. Ladd McConkey is going to come in immediately in the NFL and start. I don't know if he's a number one receiver in the NFL. He is going to be a dang good number two, if not.
Yeah, and do you think does he translate? There is a perception out there that he's going to be primarily a slot guy, but you think he can translate to all of it? I remember, by the way, people were talking about Justin Jefferson getting stuck in the slot at one point.
Isn't that funny?
That sounds absurd now, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Come on.
And it was the same thing. You know, like, it was a situational thing at LSU, right, where they had Ja'Marr Chase on the one side and they had Terrace Marshall on the other side, that Joe Burrow offense. That's why Justin Jefferson was in the slot. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, he can't play on the outside in the NFL. And now he's the NFL's best outside receiver.
Yeah, how about that, right? Yeah. I remember asking Rick Spielman the day after he drafted, or the night that he drafted Justin Jefferson, about that. And he was like, no, he's going to be fine. He's going to be able to play all over. All right, so let's go to Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
And I think this might be more that you like McConkey than you dislike Brian Thomas. Yeah. I love the physical play, the contested balls, the big body of Brian Thomas from LSU.
Yeah, you know, coming into the NFL, we know a couple things about Brian Thomas that he is going to do very, very well. He's 6'3", 210 pounds, and the freak athleticism that you're talking about. He ran a 4.33 with a 9.86 overall RAS composite.
How does a guy with that big of a body run that fast?
I don't know. He was flying. And you see this on the field, too. I mean, and this is one of my nitpicks about him, I will say, but it, you know, it can go either way. He ran predominantly two routes at LSU. You know, it was the fades and the goes.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so hard to stop him on those. You know, I mean, you know, him and Jaden Daniels on those, you had neighbors doing, you know, all the different, the stops, the starts, the running, the zipping around, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you'd have Thomas taking the top off the defense, and you can see why LSU was the greatest show on turf last year. They also had the most rancid defense you'll ever see.
Yeah,
they were like the funnest team to watch. Yeah, every game was like 55 to 52. But yeah, Brian Thomas at the bare minimum, he's going to be the you know, sort of prototypical wide receiver two, pop the top, whatever. My nitpick about Brian Thomas is I don't know the other stuff, right? Like the you know, the in-breaking stuff, the nuance stuff. Like, is he ever going to elevate to become like a wide receiver one in the NFL? That I don't know, but I do know he's going to threaten deep, and he's going to be the friend of the other receivers on your team, because you have to keep, he's one of those guys, you have to keep the deep safety on the other side, or he's going to take your lunch money deep. You can't keep a guy on an island, or he's going to embarrass him.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Xavier Worthy. The guy is getting attached to the Chiefs a lot.
Yes.
Oh, this could be a lot of fun. Let's break him down when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
As mentioned, Thor Nystrom, Xavier Worthy is... could bring speed to a Chiefs team that hasn't had it since Tyreek Hill left.
Yes.
Well, okay, that's a Marquez Valdez Scantling's got like straight line speed, yeah. But that's it. And then all the negative plays and everything comes with him.
But you could argue, well, not even argue, we just quantifiably, no one in NFL history has the speed of Xavier Worthy. Mm-hmm. Just ran a 4.21 40, broke the record at the NFL Combine, broke the record of John Ross there. It was hilarious. You know, he ran the first one and was just over it, Xavier Worthy was, and then asked to run the second. Everyone assumed that he wasn't going to run it, but Xavier Worthy's like, no, I want to run the second one, because he knew he was going to break that record. And yeah, then he went out and did it. Yeah. It was a very, very cool moment. 1.49 10-yard split, very good as well. And then a 41 inch vertical, which is obviously fabulous as well. 9.34 RAS, which at the adjusted size thing is incredible at 165 pounds. That's the nitpick about him. But he is a little bit taller than Tank Dell. He's just under 6 feet tall, Xavier Worthy. He's an interesting player. Texas pounded Xavier Worthy with targets 2 years ago, 2022. He had some drop issues, mitigated a little bit in terms of the percentage last year. 2022, he had a hand injury, so you can forgive him for a little bit. And last year, he had a ton of targets. So if you look at the drop percentage, it was actually within a reasonable area there. But that's the one sort of nitpick about him is the drops. He has a couple on tape that, he had one against Alabama early in that game last season where he absolutely licks this guy near the goal line on this whip route. He goes inside, he gets this guy in a blender and he's wide open going towards the boundary. Ewers puts it right where he should, towards the boundary, the pylon, puts it right on his hands and it clanks off of Worthy's hands. He's right by himself. But Worthy gets separation as easy as any receiver you'll see. It's the thing that reminds you of
Hold on separation for Xavier Worthy. Is it just running by guys? Or does he have some nuance to his game and his route running to create separation that isn't just, I'm just going to run past you?
This is a very good contextual point. It's the latter. It's both, but including the latter. He's a very good route runner. He has both the agility and the speed, but he also has a very good understanding of the route running, and he can get that separation at all levels of the field. Like, it's not like a 2-2 Atwell thing where it's just like, using the speed and then everything has to come off of it.
Right.
He knows how to run the route, and he knows how to set up defenders using that athleticism. He knows he has that 100-mile-per-hour fastball, and he knows defenders are sitting back. They have to sit back on their heels. Mm-hmm. You're going to blow it by him. So he'll play off of that, and he'll also alter his tempo as well. So he has a really good feel for that, and he naturally gets the separation because of that. That's why he got pounded with as many targets by Quinn Ewers as he did. You look at Adonai Mitchell, another receiver in this class. He's another physical freak, 6'4", 200 pounds, whatever, he ran a 4.3. People wonder, why did Adonai Mitchell, being a physical freak, why did he get as few targets as he did? Well, it's because Xavier Worthy's open on every freaking play. That's why. So I think Xavier Worthy, with that performance, and with what he put out on tape, everything like that, he has absolutely put himself in contention to go late in the first round. And I think the Chiefs are, you know, that's, it's like the siren there. It's like you have the free space at the front of the first round with the Bears of Caleb Williams. And I think I'm going to be putting Xavier Worthy there at the number 32 spot.
So here's my worry. All of these Olympic level speed guys who come to the NFL, they never work out. I mean, like, never. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're this fast, it almost seems like it's worked against a lot of these guys going all the way back down to, like, Willie Gault and stuff, right? Yep. So it feels like a lot of, most of the players that have this kind of speed have are one-trick ponies. You know, I run straight and I run fast. And they haven't developed enough of the rest of their game to be anything more than almost trick play guys. You know, they're two catches a game, and you hope to God that you're starting them in your fantasy league and in one that one game every 2 months that he catches that deep pass on.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that Xavier Worthy's got a much more rounded, complete game than most of the John Rosses in this world.
Yeah, because a lot of those guys were straight line guys, right? Yep. Like the Darius Hayward Bays or the locally speaking, Vikings fans, earmuffs, Troy Williamson.
Yeah,
like you were talking about guys like that where it was pure pop the top, you know, run deep guys. Worthy, it's the all three level thing, right? Like, you know, the play, you know, the Alabama play, you know, I'm talking about a play where he dropped it, but they were using him at the goal line. Like, he's a small receiver you can use at the goal line because if there's only one guy on that side of the field, he will shake him. Like, he will fake inside, and the guy will bite, and then he can go towards the boundary. He's going to be by himself. The agility is the thing in conjunction with the speed with Worthy. And also, he's not he is pint-sized in terms of the weight and the bill with that, but he's stretched out with it where he's 6 feet tall, even though he's 165 pounds. So you have a little bit more of the catch radius with that. Yeah, I mean, he very, very skinny, but, you know, the build is it's not quite as, like, you know, it's more like Devonta Smith. You know, than some of those other guys. And again, it's not just the pure downfield type thing. He can win at all three levels.
Do you have a comp for Xavier Worthy? Because he doesn't seem like a guy who's got a lot of comps in the NFL.
The best one I got right now is Tank Dell, because it's the guy that can win at all three levels, but he is faster than Tank Dell and he's taller. I don't have a perfect one yet, but that's a close one I got.
I struggle to find one based on the player we're describing.
Yeah.
All right, let's transition over to Bo Nix's receiver, Troy Franklin.
Yeah, Troy Franklin goes to the combine. In the sports books, they had him with a low 4.3, 40 with the props, and he disappointed a little bit in running a 4.41. Only I mean, it's a fast time.
Yeah, but totally NFL serviceable time.
Yeah, but Franklin was 176, so he's a little bit on the lighter side, although he did come in at 6'2". Explosion is the part of his game, you know, explosive plays. But with the 4.41, he also had a 10-yard split of 1.61, which is a little bit elevated as well. He had the 6.93 cone. The overall RAS was 8.18. But, yeah, he gives you the explosive plays in that Oregon offense, can win at all three levels. He did there, makes people miss. But, yeah, the body build is the thing that concerns you a little bit in conjunction with the testing profile. I like his game, though. He's a little bit of a contortionist. You know, in terms of that, like around the sidelines, I really like the body control. I like the ball skills in terms of, like, you know, with his body type, the contortionist, the ball skills, everything like that. I like his game, but I would have liked to see him test just a little bit better than he ended up doing. That's why I have him right now at wide receiver 7.
Okay. Are we talking about a player who can get separation from others?
So
is he got that kind of footwork?
Yeah, so I had him comp to Jameson Williams before the combine, but the speed isn't quite that good. So I'm gonna have to bring that back just a little bit. But yeah, that was sort of where I was at before. But yeah, no, I mean, he can separate. But this is, you have to separate him from Oregon's offense, right? Where it was like you had a lot of those quick hitting concepts, and then, you know, people, the defense would start coming up because we're not going to let you do the screen pass right away again. Mm-hmm. And then he would get the free one-on-one shot, you know, deeper down the field. So you have to, there's some projection that is, you know, you have to do with this in the same way you have to do with Bo Nix, you know, in the other way with it. But I think Troy Franklin's the guy where it projects more favorably, for instance, than Bo Nix going to the next level.
All right, let's go to Florida State's Keon Coleman. I've got nothing. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup with Manute Bol and Muggsy Bogues.
Keon Coleman had a very interesting combine where he runs a 4.61 40, but he ran the fastest gauntlet time. Last year, the guy who, you know, where they're running through and then they're throwing him the passes on both sides and they have to. The guy who, you know, who ran the fastest gauntlet last year in the receivers?
No.
A guy named Puka Nacua.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Puka Nacua was also near the bottom in the 40 time for the receivers. So,
all right.
And Keon Coleman, it must be said, the other test that he did was very, very good. He had the 38 vert. His broad was over 10 feet. 9.18 RAS overall. He obviously brings the big size, over 6'3", 215 pounds. He started at Michigan State, not only on the football team, he played basketball for Tom Izzo.
Wow.
Was a very good basketball recruit. That's part where the vertical comes in, and you see this in his game. Downfield, you are not getting higher than Keon Coleman. You talk about a rebounder down the field, very good with the body positioning, but also, you know, again, you're not getting higher than him. He's a high pointer all day long. I compare him to T. Higgins. It's a lot of the same kind of thing. Another cool thing where you see the manifestation of his hops, you'll see, you know, where he gets the ball near the sidelines, especially shorter down in the field, whatever, where he'll hop guys. They try to go low, take out his knees. He will hurdle them and then keep trucking down the field. So he has stuff like that. The one part of his profile, you know, that you wonder about, he's sort of a raw route runner right now, in part because the agility is not quite as good. That's the one part of his athletic profile that's not as good. But I love the ball skills. I love his hands. Last year, down the stretch, that's where people started to nitpick his game a little bit. He got hurt in the middle of November. Then Jordan Travis gets hurt. In the last couple games of Florida State, they were playing guys that should not have been on an FBS field. Mm-hmm. They were forcing balls at Keon Coleman. Here's a crazy stat for you, Charge. Keon Coleman last year, he was targeted 87 times. By the PFF charting, only 55 of those 87 targets were considered catchable.
Jeez. So, all right, how many catches did he have? Do you know?
50.
Wow, he caught 50 of the 55 catchable passes. Okay.
So, I mean, there are people out there that really nitpick his game last year, and it was disappointing. He came from Michigan State. A lot of people over the offseason, this is going to be his breakout year. He's a first-round guy, et cetera, et cetera. He had a down year on a playoff-contending team, but that is the context. He got hurt early November. He missed a game. Right when he comes back, Jordan Travis gets hurt. The last month of his season was basically a wash for this reason. The targets he was getting after he came back were not targets at all. He was getting thrown to by a kid who was just out of the high school prom, shouldn't have been on the field. 11 of his 50 catches last year were touchdowns. Most of the other ones were first downs. That kid can play, absolutely. Like I said, T. Higgins is who I see in the NFL.
I like that comp for Keon Coleman. One player, while we're talking Florida football, let's go to Florida. Ricky, one player left, Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall, kid I talked to in Mobile. I really like that kid. Super duper nice kid. Has some of the best set of hands that you will see in college football the last couple of years. He was a staple of the SportsCenter top 10. He had one catch against Charlotte where he went up, caught the ball with one hand. Then he got crushed. You know, there was two guys descending on him. He catches the ball with one hand. But it was like week after week, he was making these like ludicrous highlight reel type catches. But it's not just the highlight reel catches. He's one of the better route runners in this class, has a very good understanding of that, shifting up and down the tempo, the footwork in and out of the route breaks, everything like that. He puts himself in the head of the defender who is across from him, and then he just puts the guy in a blender. The guy never knows what he's about to do. It's like a chess match with him. You know, so we had fun talking about that different stuff. He's one of those guys who's constantly like doing little deeks with his upper body, you know, and then the other guy, he has to sort of respond to it, and then he's going the other way, different stuff like that. Talking about his hands, 86.8 PFF hands grade last season, regularly spears balls outside of his frame, one-handed catches with regularity. He's extremely reliable with anything that you put within his frame. Cleverness on the routes, understands coverage designs, modifies his path to get himself open against zone coverage, keeps working on extended plays to freelance himself open. He doesn't have the most sudden feet, but because of all those machinations that he does along the route path, he just constantly finds himself open. Very good spatial awareness, very good body control, very, very smart kid. The thing we were wondering about going to the combine, it's like, is this kid just a kid with very good hands, a hardworking kid who, you know, very good route runner,
but athleticism. But,
yeah, just like an average athlete. He goes to the combine, 9.78 RAS.
Jeez.
4.41 40, 6.64 three cone. Fabulous three cone with the speed as well. This kid's going to be shooting up the boards. 6'1", 190 as well. I think you can project him. I mean, whether you want to play him in the slot, which is where he told me a Mobile teams were talking to him about, but he played on the outside in college. By the way, played at Arizona State with Jaden Daniels. Then he went to Florida, started. He was a wide receiver one for Anthony Richardson. Mm. Then last year for Graham Mertz. He has been the wide receiver one for three different high-level quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He can go to the NFL and I think start either on the outside or in the slot. Versatile kid. He is underrated, and I think he's moving up draft boards.
Ricky Pearsall, you basically just carved a bust for him in Canton.
Yeah. Ricky Pearsall, baby.
Where is he go? What's his draft stock like? I mean, where do you expect him to go?
I think probably right now he'd probably be considered maybe round three, but it wouldn't surprise me if he goes round two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody's gonna like that, all the things you just described.
Very reliable.
I'm jotting notes while you're talking, getting smarter on these guys. You didn't say anything bad about him.
Yeah.
What, I mean, what does Ricky Pearsall need to do better? Why isn't he a first-round pick?
He had a 42-inch vert, too.
All right.
Yeah.
We like Ricky Pearsall.
I like Ricky Pearsall.
Sneaky spot for your for maybe your third round of your dynasty.
He doesn't accelerate quickly. That may be that's one.
All right, we're going to add that in. Yeah. Okay. Can't accelerate. Extremely slow.
Don't tell him I said that.
Okay, got it. Got it. Great job, man.
Nice.
Wow. It's in 30 minutes, we've become a whole lot smarter, which I love.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. More Fantasy Football Weekly. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.